Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code ZABE, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Today on the ZabeCast, what's my definition of a late-breaking superstar in sports? And who qualifies? I'd say the Joker for the Nuggets is certainly one. Do you have Amazon guilt? I think I'm starting. We've got meteors booming over the nation's capital. Skip and Shannon are Splitsville. And Andy Poland joins me to talk about the time we met the great Jack Nicklaus for a radio show. Your 40-minute bonus edition of Pure Zabe is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Monday, June 5, 2023. Thank you for downloading. Appreciate everybody who listens to the show and gives me feedback as well. I take it all in. I was actually sharing with my wife and daughters on Friday night the fact that, you know, I get all kinds of emails from all different angles. Some people like this person, some people hate them, some people like so-and-so. And many of you have been very supportive saying, you know, fuck the haters, just do what you do. Your instincts are right, just do what you do. And I appreciate that, and that's there's a lot to that, but I do appreciate the feedback because I'm constantly calibrating and thinking and calibrating and thinking as we go along here. And as you know, I try different things, not all of which works out the way I want, and then I make adjustments, or I kill things, or I just move on. So with that said, it dawned on me that, you know what? I've always said on the radio, this is not a sports show. This is a me show. It's very arrogant. As arrogant as the great Rush Limbaugh, who once said, callers are meant, I put callers on the air in order to make me look good. And I always thought, what a fucking statement is that? Like, what a douchebag. Was he afraid to debate people? But he proudly said so. I thought about this and I'm like, it is a me show. It's a me podcast. I got to give the people what they want. I got to give them at least 5 to 10 minutes of me every single day. And then, depending on who I've got on, I'll bring them on and we'll go from there. There might be some solo shows in here as well, but I'm going to commit to you people. Who are you calling you people? Robert Downey Jr., Tropic Thunder, great show, great movie. Never to be made again. Anything that screamingly funny and screamingly un-PC. In fact, you should probably get a DVD copy of it. Save it before it's ever banned from being played again. I digress. So, give you people what you want. Give you some of me. I'm going to promise to give you 5 to 10 minutes of me every single show before I bring on whomever I bring on. And that way you get at least 10 minutes of me. You go 10 minutes. All right, that's all I can take, 10 minutes. Perfect. Boom, done. You're on with your day. You're on to your other podcasts out there. And boy, there's a lot of podcasts. I was getting content fatigue? No, content dismay over the weekend. As I popped around on YouTube and I listened to some podcasts while mowing the lawn, doing yard work, I realized, Jesus, there's so much out there. I mean, and I go to YouTube and I see such incredibly good-looking, really good content being put out there. And all I can think about is, are these people making any fucking money? Because it looks so good. But hold that thought on YouTube for a second. So I got a little bit content overwhelmed, and I thought, well, what about my content? I'm putting out a lot of content every week. How do I make sure it stays relevant? It evolves. It stays fresh. It's by me giving you what you want, which is me. So let me give you some things about me from the weekend. I have some thoughts about the price of things and Amazon guilt. I went to buy a couple of new 5-gallon gas cans for my new Turf Tiger 2 from Skag. Such a great mower. Sad update, the grass in the Mid-Atlantic region is already gone. Not enough rain, too much heat, too early in the season. It's already brown. There's weeds coming in. There's fucking clover. I mean, it's gone. I cut it this weekend, but I had to squint at times to see the lines. Like, did I mow this part? And that sucks. I don't think it's going to be good again. There's not going to be meaty, lush, juicy grass to cut again in the Mid-Atlantic until the fall. And that makes me sad. But I digress. So I went to go get a couple of new 5-gallon gas cans. The old Kubota took diesel. I have big yellow plastic 5-gallon jugs for the diesel. Why didn't you just use those? Well, I thought about it. I thought, all right, do I wash them out and then, you know, put gas in them and label them in big marker gas? Do not put diesel, because the reason they're yellow usually indicates diesel. Red is obviously gasoline. So I'm like, nah, I don't want, I'm just this new mower. I don't want to fuck it up. I'll buy two new plastic red cans. So I went to good old Lowe's, and I was surprised they had the 5-gallon ones, the big ones, because this is kind of a suburban area. I'm thinking, they have 2 gallons at most, but I need the big 5-gallon ones. They had them. I'm like, great. I pick them up, away we go, because I don't need big boxes coming from Amazon with 5-gallon plastic jugs in them. $26 and change a piece. I'm like, what? I know a thing or two about manufacturing. This is just form molded fucking plastic. Oh, sure, it's got some fancy pants, stupid ass, nozzle to it, which I could not for the life of me figure out. I got to pull this tab and push this. And okay, there you go. Wait. Is it going? How come it's leaking on me? God damn these things. I instantly thought, I'm going to return these. even with it stinking of gas inside. But I got them to work, and they seemed to be okay, and I felt like, all right, I'm not going to return them. But $26, I just thought that, I'm not somebody who is normally that guy about prices. I'm pretty laissez-faire, eh? In for a dime, in for a dollar. Do you know what it's costing me to send my daughter to college, for God's sakes? Do you know what this vacation's costing? I usually don't get hung up about it, but it just felt exploitive. $15 tops. $26. And I knew that I was paying a premium because they're in the stores. Whatever. Speaking of Amazon guilt, which I'm sure I could have gotten a much as good a one, if not better, for cheaper on Amazon. I'm getting Amazon guilt. Because, like a lot of us, I'm ordering way too much shit. And I'm getting more and more impatient all the time. What? It's not going to be until Thursday.
Prime now.
Prime now.
Give it to me now.
Give it to me now. I noticed on Amazon they now have an option where you can pick your day. Like, pick your Amazon day. If you're like many Americans ordering a bunch of shit. Just one day a week. We'll bundle them all together. We'll keep, you know, fewer trucks on the road. Well, not a bad idea. But then I might have to wait.
Prime now. Give it to me now.
And I want to shop local, and I don't mind giving them a profit, but fuck, man. $26 for a plastic jug. That was a tough one. On the other side, it's corn season. Oh, yeah, baby, it's corn season. Welcome to summer. It has the juice. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. I can tell you all about it. Look at this thing. When I tried it with butter, everything changed. So, and by the way, you're saying, I didn't know you ate any vegetables. Hey, even I know corn is not a vegetable. It's a starch. But it's the one thing that is grown that I eat. So, had to get some corn. It's summer. Corn season is here. And I did a double take picking it up at the grocery store. It was like corn. $4 for $1. $4 for $1. All I was thinking about was crushing at least 3 of the 4 years myself. Maybe my daughters would have one of them. And how delicious it was going to be with butter. Because, you know, it's corn. And I'm like, $4 for $1? How are they even making any profit on this? This is insane. What a great bargain. Right is corn. Then I remembered where they grow it, how much of it they grow, how easily it is mass harvested by these giant machines. And I thought, all right, well, maybe they're doing all right. Maybe four years for a dollar. They're taking their, that's 25 cents an ear. Good math by you. Taking their, what, 7 cent profit when it's all said and done, shipping, processing, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're like putting it in their pocket. So my question for those of you out there in the great flyover farm country, how's corn doing? How's big corn doing? Because I couldn't believe that for $4, I could get four delicious ears of pristine white sweet corn. Good stuff. All right. With that said, coming up, Andy Polin will join me. I caught him in the middle of a golf tournament I wanted to watch, but he had no interest. We'll hear from Andy next. You're listening to the Zabecast. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. That's FITBOD.ME/Zabe. Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. You name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe. And get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag. You know, Andy, normally it's you, Chinese food, and a guy in a red shirt who's captivating to watch playing the game that you hate, golf. But I apologize, I am taking you away right now from the pride of Tacoma Park. Denny McCarthy right now in the middle of a playoff at Jack's Place. Playoff? Are you aware of the Tacoma Park kid? Denny McCarthy?
Yes, I am. I am aware of him. I have watched him play some, but I can't say that...
You're not watching this right now?
No,
I'm
not.
Come on! The NBA Finals game doesn't start for another couple hours. What's going on, man? Come on.
Yeah, well...
Not into it, huh? So the Tiger effect for you didn't carry over into, hey, this is a big tournament. It involves Jack Nicklaus, who is not going to be with us that much longer, I'm afraid. He's not great. Well, he's just not looking great. He's in his 80s, Andy.
Life I understand.
Yeah. And at a great course, big field, and local kid looking for his first win. That still can't draw you to the TV.
Well, even when Tiger was at his peak, I mainly watched him play in majors. I would watch. Yeah, if I knew that he was in contention to win something like the Memorial, yeah, I'd be into it. But
regular season PGA Tour events just not going to cut it.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like Sunday and a major, yeah. Red shirt, yeah. and he's closing in. And nobody. Now he was front runner. He was not a come from behind guy. You know, all the greats that we think of in sports, Montana, Brady, they're known for comebacks, right?
That is true. That is true. And it's not like he couldn't do it. It just he either he was on that week and he was going to dominate everybody, or it just wasn't quite his week, quite his week.
Yeah. Well, he would finish, you know, a couple shots back every now and then. And I think that's the amazing thing about Jack. It's not just the 18 majors. It's the 19 seconds that he was in it every time.
You're darn right it is. And, you know, the second place finishes paid pretty good. Not live tour good, but pretty damn good for back in the day, you know.
Yeah. Right.
By the way, when we got to meet and interview Jack at Creighton Farms, I realized that was my Sandy Koufax. My first ultimate boyhood idol in sports, because as a young golf nerd on the mean streets of McLean, Nicklaus was in his heyday when I was coming of age, 12 years old plus, 1980. And so therefore, you know, to meet him finally and to talk to him was just amazing. And I remember the time you got Sandy Koufax on the phone once.
Yeah, well, that was, you want me to tell that story?
It's
kind of lengthy.
Well, give me the 1 minute version.
Okay, so I know a guy named Bert Abramowitz who had played high school basketball with Sandy Koufax, and he had lost contact with him. And so he asked me if I could help him, and I called Tim Kirchen, and I called the Hall of Fame, and, you know, nothing worked out. And finally, I called the Mets, and Fred Wilpon at the time was the owner, and he had played high school baseball with Sandy. Wilpon was actually the pitcher, and Koufax was the first. Yeah. Koufax was wild. They wouldn't let him pitch. And Wilpon was the pitcher. Koufax was the first baseman. And so I left a message and I said, look, if you can give me a number for Sandy, it's for my friend. And all that. So anyway, I left my
number. So you name dropped your friend, Abramowitz?
Bert Abramowitz, and he also would have known Bert because Wilpon played basketball as well.
We're well over a minute, so let's cut to the chase.
I told
you
it's lengthy.
I said give me the 1 minute version.
Go ahead anyway. So anyway, one thing leads to another. I leave my cell phone number and thinking, you know, maybe somebody from the Mets is going to call me back and I'm going to give him Bert's number. But they gave my number to Koufax, and so he called me, and then, you know, one thing led to another, and I got to talk to him, and I was tongue-tied and, you know, all that. But our situation with Jack was different in that we, you know, had it set up in advance, and let me tell you something. I'm not a golfer, but that's one of the highlights of my career, too, getting to talk to him. And I've told this story many times. That the most incredible thing that happened there, that we were told, you know, it may be 10 minutes, if it's going well, 15, but that's going to be it. Well, we're 20 minutes plus into this interview. And you say, in 1963, you won the long drive contest. And he starts fidgeting a little bit. And then you start talking about how the equipment's changed and this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, he's fidgeting. He wants to go. He's fidgeting because he's pulling out of his pocket a money clip
that he won for winning the long drive contest
in 1963.
And he was so proud of it. And he put up with me gently impugning that he couldn't have possibly hit it 330 yards with that equipment back in the day. But it was incredible. It was magic. I would say that moment where Nicklaus pulled out the money clip, unbeknownst to me, of an anecdote I grabbed off of Wikipedia minutes before we had to, you know, get ready to interview him, is at 1A or 1B next to the great Steve Sable, may he rest in peace, meeting me at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, his eyes lighting up, saying, Zabe, oh man, I love your show. I listen every morning on the way in to our Laurel Hill, New Jersey studios at NFL Films. And I couldn't believe it. And I kind of pressed him on it. And he's like, no, really, I do listen. I love your show. That was when we were back on Sirius XM as part of Fox Sports Radio. That completely floored me.
Yeah, there are a few people in my life who I've been more impressed with than Steve Sable. I was on the committee to select the 70 greatest Redskins of all time, and he was on it. So I can't say I got to know him, but I got to meet him and be around him. And he is a great person away from his craft, and his craft it lives on as some of the greatest work ever done, you know, in sports film, for sure.
He should still be around. Reggie White should still be around. Walter Payton should still be around.
Sure.
It's a damn shame all these great NFL voices and players. It seems like all the nice guys leave too early. But anyway, let's get to it. I got five topics, 20 minutes. We're here for a good time, not a late time, not a long time. Topic number one, because the game ended too late for today's podcast. You'll hear all about it tomorrow. I want to talk about Nikola Jokic. I was thinking about Jokic as a player, and I thought, you know, he's a late-breaking superstar. And the way I look at it is this. It's not that he was misdrafted, per se. I mean, obviously he was. But he got a lot better once he came into the league for Denver when he was just 20 years old. He went from 10.7 boards a game to the last 2 years averaging pretty much 25 and 12 and shooting threes as well. So he was a late-breaking superstar. I think the all-time late-breaking superstar is Tom Brady. Drafted the sixth round and just sat around for a while, was on the roster when, boom, all of a sudden Drew Bledsoe's kidney explodes on a big hit near the sideline. He's thrust into the game. Everything else is history from there on out. Steph Curry might be a late-breaking superstar. Who's not a late-breaking superstar? Someone like Aaron Rodgers. He was drafted in the first round, you know. So he was tabbed for possible stardom. It's just he had to wait his turn behind Rodgers. Right. Who can you think of that is a late-breaking superstar? Not just a guy who took a while to come around and now he's pretty good, but holy shit, this guy's good. And he really moved the needle from when he came into his sport.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, he was in the league for a while.
Yeah.
And it took a while for him to catch on.
And to bulk up his body as well. Now, he was still a first-round pick. He was a mid-first-round pick. But it was sort of such a project and a prospect. You're like, where are you going to play him? What's he going to do? And you know, he started playing point guard at times early on when he was really skinny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then you have the same thing with Sammy Sosa when he was with the White Sox, I believe, or the Rangers, one of the two teams that, you know, he was unknown, and who knows how much the steroids played into it and that sort of thing.
I would say a lot in the case of Sosa.
But was he, maybe he was from when he really exploded with the Cubs. I don't know. Or maybe he used the steroids to stay on top. That happens too.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, and that's the thing about sports, which is fun and great, is that guys can and do get better once they become pros. I guess the LeBron James effect has conditioned us to just expect, you know, okay, we see this superstar coming from a mile away, and as soon as he's a pro, he's going to be great. Not always the case.
How about the one we just talked about, Sandy Koufax? That's the ultimate late bloomer. He was incredibly wild when he came up, and it took him 4 or 5 years before he finally became great. And as the story goes, he was pitching in spring training, and Norm Sherry, the pitching coach, says, "Just don't throw as hard as you can." He took a little bit off the ball, and he had arguably the six greatest years that any left-handed pitcher's ever had.
Yeah. A lot of times in baseball, too, you'll have starters who become relievers, and then they become legendary. I believe Mariano Rivera is in that category.
Mm-hmm. I saw Earl Hershiser as a minor league reliever. I said, this guy's going to be out of baseball in a year. They turned him into a starter in Albuquerque. And
he went the other way around. Yeah. He went from reliever to starter, and then he figured it out. Wasn't Eckersley the same way? Wasn't he? I mean, most pitchers start as starters, right?
Right. Yeah. He became one. And then who's the one? Smoltz? Was he the one that became a reliever and then went back to being a starter?
Might have been, yeah. I think the great Ben Hogan in golf also knocked around on some very small money tours until finally making it big and then becoming pretty much the face of golf in the 50s. But golf, like baseball, those are struggle sports. In other words, you're expected almost to struggle early on because they're so hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Steve Largent was cut. He was cut by the Oilers before he became a star with Seattle. So it happens.
All right. Yeah. Topic two. I've been listening to a fair amount of local DC sports lately. My friends and colleagues and guys I know doing it. And it's been odd, Andy. I'll be honest. It's been odd. It's not depressing because I don't feel like I'm like, ah, I should still be on. And I listen to it and I think, I couldn't even fake giving a shit about the Wizards' new head coach and their new GM, whose names I think escape me. Who are they again, Andy?
There's a guy named Winger, who's the president of the operations. And then a guy that they just hired from Golden State.
Or Golden State, yes.
He had
with
been
a funny last name, if I recall.
Yeah, yeah. The coach is still there. That's Wes Unseld Jr.
Oh, Wes is still there. Oh, yeah. Travis Schlenk.
Schlenk, right.
Schlenk. Yeah, so let's see. So Wes is still there, the coach, but they hired two new GMs?
Well, they have a president of basketball operations, this guy, Michael Winger, who had been with the Clippers. So he also oversees the Mystics and the Go-Go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so now he hired
Go-Go is the G League team, and the Mystics, of course, the WNBA team.
Right, and Schlenk is now going to be like the guy who gets Schlenk. Him players.
Schlenk. I'm looking at a picture of old Travis Schlenk. He looks like a Travis Schlenk, just to be fair about it. So yeah, I heard one of the hosts on the pretty much the one station in town, not yours by the way, Andy, can be heard every day on where is it again?
ESPN 630, the old WMAL,
from 10 to noon.
10 to noon, yeah. And it's 9 to 11 every day, and then 2 days a week I do 9 to noon.
Yeah. All right, so this host is going on and on about Travis Schlenk this, Travis Schlenk that, and I thought, how can anyone fucking listen to this? Seriously. Maybe there's a market for it. I don't know. I don't think the program director is saying, definitely talk about this. This is big. I know it's the doldrums of summer. So it got me to thinking, Andy, if we were still doing the sports reporters, you and I and Naki and Buck and our rotating gang of guests, would we be going into depth about the potential of Travis Schlenk to somehow deliver the Wizards out of irrelevance? Would we be doing topics like I heard B. Mitch and Finley do, which is what position group impresses you the most with the Commanders? Is that what we'd be doing?
No, we would be doing – actually, the one who's really doing – sports talk radio and not doing sports talk radio is Tom Lavero. He writes a column where he doesn't care anymore, so he rips Ted. he rips the Commanders, the whole organization, the whole way they do things, Jason Wright, the team president. And what you have with these other guys, they're looking to get jobs with these teams.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Well, this guy Paulson in the afternoon, he's done a lot of cap stuff, caps pregame, and he's very ambitious. So he's not going to rip Ted. He's not going to say anything bad about Ted. So we would be looking. Here's my angle, just what we're talking about. This is how irrelevant the Wizards are. They have become the most irrelevant team in town, mainly because they haven't won a championship since 1978. And so what the pathetic situation that they're in, they have the highest paid or one of the highest paid players in the league and the only player with a no-trade clause in his contract who's just a guy. He's good, but right. Is he a superstar? And so our angle would be that they're in the Bermuda Triangle. They're completely lost. And no matter how many Schlenks and Wingers they hire, it's not going to matter.
I think I would do a whole spoof of Winger and Schlenk, the new law firm in charge. And I would also, like you, reference, it's hopeless. Until they land a superstar, there's no chance. Because you're right. They are stuck exactly in that spot. They have a single nominal star in Beal who's not good enough to lift them out of the mud. And he's locked into this huge contract, and for some dumb reason, he doesn't seem to want to leave.
No, well, why would he? Because he keeps making money. He gets paid.
He could kind of demand a trade at some point. I mean, he likes DC, which good for him. But I thought a long time ago, Bradley Beal would have pulled a typical NBA star move and say, you know what, it's just time.
Yeah, but he makes all this money, and he's the man there. It's like you've got this good job. Nobody bothers you. You don't have some idiot program director telling you, oh, we've hired three hockey insiders that we're going to have on the show. three times a week. No, they leave him alone, you know?
You're not referencing anyone that we knew that made us take three. Did we have to take three hockey guys?
He had two guys, and they were on for a total. I mean, it was interminable. They were on all the time talking about hockey.
Because he got an earful from the owner, Ted.
No. He's one of these guys who thinks he's smarter than everybody else. So his feeling was, hey, let's not talk about the Redskins all the time. Let's try and grab these hockey people who are out there who want to listen. So he's trying to grab fleas with a tweezer, you know, and bring them in and hoping they have a diary so that people would listen to it.
So in other words, it's like the shopping cart theory of sports radio programming. Go down the aisles and try to get one of these, one of those, you know, collect them. But that doesn't necessarily win the day. I don't think.
And the people who are listening to you and like you tune away when you're doing something that they know you don't really want to do, and it's not something they want to listen to.
Right. The analogy or the model that would be more appropriate. Oh, Victor Hovland, by the way, just gutted your boy Denny McCarthy. The Tacoma Park kid just lost in the first extra hole of the playoff at Memorial. That sucks. Well, he'll win at some point, but tough one for old Denny McCarthy. Yeah, I think the better analogy, better model is that you've got to get a raft of fun. You got to get a raft of people who don't want to jump out of the raft when you add something new to the raft. Like, right. So the biggest boat you can, because certain topics, if it's too much of it, people jump overboard. They're like, that's it. I'm out.
Yeah. Well, also you got to be true to yourself. So if you do a show where you go, Ted, stop. Nobody cares about this as much as you do. And then all of a sudden, hey, we have the hockey insider and we want to know about the fourth line and how many quality chances they're going to get. People understand you don't care. You got to be sincere. People have to know you. They have to like you. Either they do or they don't. Right. And if they're listening, they like you, and they like what you're doing. And
they'd
then all
rather,
of a sudden you're doing something you're not doing isn't really what you do. They go, right. Well, what is this?
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, basic sports radio PD speak would be like, you got to tease these upcoming guests. Yeah, so then you tease up, you know, our hockey insider coming up at 5:15. That's just adding gas to the fire. That's just telling people, hey, by the way, you don't like what you're hearing now, you're really not going to like it at the top of the hour.
That's appointment tune out. Like, 5:15? That's where I'm going to the other station. Because they're going to be talking about something I'm really interested in.
Right. I tease because I'm told to tease, but I'm not convinced it actually works. Because for everything somebody likes, there's probably as many people that don't like it. You know? Unless you're teasing something big. Like we got the quarterback of the team coming up in the NFL at 8 o'clock. All right.
Right. But also you could tease something to make people go, oh, what is that? I wonder
The cryptic teases. That's another one. Good. But to me, those fucking annoy me. I listen to the hosts that do those cryptic teases. I go, okay, that's cute. I don't know what you're talking about. I think I do, but I don't give a fuck. I'm out. It's commercials.
Yeah. Well, you could have that too. Yeah.
All right. Topic number three, Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp are Splitsville. How about that? What's going on? And is this the beginning of the end of the $5 million a year cable TV opinion star?
I don't think so. I think they're following the model that Stephen A. had at ESPN. And it's apparently successful now that he decided that he didn't want Max Kellerman anymore. So now they have rotating people, including someone I like, Chris Russo. And I think that's probably what's going to happen with Skip. He'll just get the people he wants.
Really? So Skip forced out Shannon. Not Shannon said, I can't take this asshole anymore. Buy me out.
Right. I think that's probably what happened. I think he got tired of being the second guy. You know, he there were a lot of issues that that Skip, you know, had took, and he didn't like the stance, and he didn't have the power to, you know, discipline Skip. And so, yeah, I think Skip's the one that drives the bus there. I mean, I never listened to it. I have no interest in it. But I think that that's the way the model works there. And I think that's what's going to happen. They're just going to be people who Skip knows he can roll over, who he wants. And it's really going to be more like the Skip show, which is really what has happened at ESPN with the Stephen A. show.
Yeah. Do you know when tryouts are, and have you entered your application for this job? No. Is it still going to pay like $4 million, $5 million a year?
No, I think what they do, well, Russo.
There's no tryouts for Shannon Sharpe's job? I could argue with Skip Bayless all fucking day.
Well, you're a well-known talk show host. Maybe they'll call you. But
you're saying there's no open tryouts. This is not American Idol.
No, and actually it's probably going to be cheaper because Russo went on Howard Stern, and I think he said he got $10,000 an episode. Now I don't know, they may have upped his money since then because
is that a lot or not a lot? Sounds like a lot.
Not really. It doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, let's see. What does that come out to? He's on one episode a week.
Yeah, it's like $500,000 a year, right?
Oh. Well, it all depends. That is a lot of money to a lot of us. But in terms of not a guaranteed $6 million a year like Skip fucking Bayless. You're right. It's pennies on the dollar, which is why this is why I asked you, is this not the start of the end of the $5 million a year cable TV opinion star? It has to be. They're not going to elevate a civilian like Stephen A. or Skip Bayless, not an ex-jock like Shannon Sharpe. They're not going to elevate them to the $5 million a year range.
Oh, but Skip is going to make that, and Stephen A.'s making 12.
But there's nobody else in the pipeline.
Oh, yeah. No, because
amongst us civilians.
Actually, nobody's tuning in really for Shannon Sharpe. They're tuning in for Skip.
Nobody's tuning in for either one of them.
I know. The ratings are terrible. I don't understand how that works either. They draw like 180,000 people, and there are cartoon shows that get that kind
right.
of thing.
I don't understand it. All right. Item 4, Steven Strasburg looks like he could be cooked. Might be the biggest waste of money. Not a bust, by the way, but biggest waste of money in the history of DC sports. His Tommy John elbow, which is the latest, right? That's the latest thing that went out again.
Yeah, it's nerve. They say it's nerve damage. It's shoulder. It's neck.
It's thoracic. a lot of cascading things in the wake of coming back and being great post Tommy John. But it was quite an arduous journey back from that, and now it's starting to fall apart. He's made 8 starts in 4 years since signing a $245 million contract.
Which has 3 years to go after this year. There's no insurance on it. But here's what I would say. I would still have given him that contract at the time. It was the right thing to do. He was coming off World Series MVP. He had made 30 starts that year. There was reason to believe that that team might contend again. Nobody knew the pandemic was coming. A lot of things have happened since then.
So you're saying it was the right thing to do in terms of he's probably still going to be good and we certainly want him, even though he's expensive. Not it's the right thing to do. God, he's probably going to fall apart, but we owe it to him. That right thing to do.
I think that was a big factor in it. And you
really?
Also wanted,
so a combination of the two.
Well, look, you're coming off a World Series, okay? And you've got a team now that's the toast of the town, right? I mean, the Caps had won the year before, but the Caps are Caps. Baseball's a bigger deal than hockey.
You don't want your stud. You don't want your game. Was it game 6 or game 7 he pitched in one?
He pitched in 6, but he also
got him
came
two wins.
In relief in a couple of games. He was unbelievable.
He was. Right. So you don't want to let that guy walk after you've had that feel good moment. So there was
and you don't want to say to the fan base, you got your World Series. See you later. Because they were hoping, that's where you get this big, rush after winning the World Series that people can't wait to buy season tickets. And, it's the place to be for the next.
But they
were
still going to field a fucking team. They could have said just, hey, you know what? We love Steven and he's been amazing. This is a calculated gamble on our part. It's a whole lot of money. Someone went out and bought him, and good for him. We wish him the best, but this is a risk we're going to take. Teams take risks on the other direction all the time. They never want to take a risk in this direction. And even though there's no salary cap fucking the Nats right now, what a mountain of money they've poured down the drain.
Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of production versus cost, it's a disaster. But you have to look at the time that the deal was made. And I don't think that there were too many people in town saying, $245 million. What are they doing? No.
I know I balked at it. I'm like, you really that much money for a guy his age with his much mileage, is that even a phrase? And with a history of Tommy John?
Okay, but he was 31 years old. There are other pitchers who've had Tommy John, and he had not. Some guys have had it twice. He did not have it a second time. Now, I do remember this, that we had Tommy John on the air.
The Tommy John. You're right, we did.
And it was about the time that he was coming back from it. And Tommy John said, if he doesn't change his motion, he's going to need it again. He's never needed it again, but every other part of his body fell apart since then.
So Tommy John was right?
Yeah, he was. But
the Tommy again, John was right.
But that was long before he was World Series MVP with 30 starts.
Yeah. Kids, for those of you who don't know who Tommy John was, former Yankee pitcher, one of the first guys to blow out his ulnar collateral ligament, and he repaired it himself using nothing but chicken wire. Yeah. And some loose parts around the garage. Hence, they called it Tommy John's surgery. Painful as shit, but he somehow figured out a way.
Yeah, it was Frank Job who took a ligament from another part of his other arm and stitched it together, and he came back in a year. It was amazing.
All right. And then did you hear the meteor today at about 3:10?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So a huge boom rattled the DMV area. People were freaking out. Not knowing what it was, turns out it was a meteor that broke up in the atmosphere. Has to be one of the weirder things to happen in the D.C. area other than, say, 9/11.
Well, we had an earthquake. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's quite a bit of damage to the National Cathedral. It took like 15 years to get it all fixed.
Thank God this boom was not accompanied with a distant mushroom cloud on the horizon. That's a day that, I'm not kidding, a lot of people have somewhere in the deep, dark recesses of their mind, but not me. Yeah, no. All right, Andy. God bless, my friend. We'll talk next week. Thanks.
All right, Dave. Take care.
There you go. All right, that's a wrap for today. Thank you so much. We know you got many choices in podcast listening, and I appreciate each and every one of you making the Zabecast your weekly and daily destination. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time. Watching any sport is a hell of a lot more exciting when you got a little something-something riding on the game. But what happens when the season is over? At my bookie, there is no off-season. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, boxing, heck, table tennis, MMA, and more. If they got it, you can bet it. If the games are being played, the line is on the board at my bookie. Just remember, where you bet, though, is every bit as important, if not more so than what you're betting on. That's why I tell all my friends to go to mybookie.ag. Oh, but my state just approved it. There's a big whatever, or these guys are in the market. Nah, Johnny come latelys. You want to trust them? Trust the bookie I've been working with for years, MyBookie. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does it matter? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a million reasons. Better lines, better payouts, less rules, you name it. Plus, you get a bonus with me at mybookie.ag. Use promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's promo code Zabe, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code Zabe to claim the offer. You bet, you win, and most importantly, you get paid with mybookie.ag.